Okay, well, tonight we're going to continue in our study on Wednesday nights of Living Faith from the book of James. And so if you have your Bible with you tonight, I hope you do, please turn to the book of James. James, the half-brother of Jesus, that pillar and pastor of the Jerusalem church, writes this letter to his scattered Jerusalem congregation, if you recall, to encourage them in the midst of all of their persecution, to turn their trials into testimonies of God's transforming grace. He writes this letter to encourage them to take every earthly obstacle that they're ever confronted with in their earthly exile and to use them as opportunities to show what true, genuine, living faith looks like to a watching world. And the first way to demonstrate living faith to a watching world, we've seen over the last 2 weeks, is in the simple way of how you look at or consider trials when they come into your lives. What is your outlook when obstacles come your way? What is your expectation when the unexpected comes? For those here on earth who do not possess a living faith in God, they view trials as irredeemable, as adversities to avoid at all costs. But for those of us who have been given living faith in Christ, we are to view trials as transforming tests sent to us from God, and we are to view them with a positive sense of expectation. As James says in James 1 verse 2, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." In other words, as believers, we should expect that times of testing are going to produce greater joy in our lives if responded to correctly. That God is going to use this hard, disruptive moment to produce in me a positive disposition that's more firmly grounded in the person and promises of God. So that's what "consider it all joy" means. It means that as a believer, you are expecting that the end result of this trial is going to be you standing more firmly grounded in the person and the promises of God. You say, well, okay, why should we expect that to be the result of the trials that we come through, though? And it's because, as believers, we know some things. That's why we should count it all joy. We know some things. That's what James is going to say next in verses 3 through 4 that we'll look at tonight. We can count it all joy in the midst of trials because, as the beginning of verse 3 says, "for you know." And then he goes on and explains what some of those things are that we know. The ability to count it all joy amid trials of various kinds is grounded on the reality that you and I, as believers, can know some things from God's word. And just as an aside, here we're given our very first insight into the nature of true, living, saving faith. It is always grounded on the revealed, objective truth and perspective of God. Living faith lives by the Word of God. That even when life is confusing, believers know that the revelation of God is clear. And so a person who possesses living faith in God is going to navigate the confusion that we're often faced in life with the clarity of God's word. That's how we can count it all joy amid trials as believers, because we know some things about trials from the word of God. This is very similar thought, by the way, as to what Paul says in Romans 5, 3 through 4 when he writes there, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings." And you say, well, why? Verse 3, "knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope." So we as believers can count it all joy in the midst of our trials because we as believers know something from God's word about trials. Now, what do we know from God's word about trials that can aid us in counting it all joy when we meet them? I'm so glad you asked, because that's exactly what we're going to look at tonight. From James 1, 3 through 4. Where James gives us three facts that we know to be true from the pages of Scripture about trials. And that is that trials always reveal our faith. Second, trials always strengthen our faith. And then third, trials always perfect our faith. So trials reveal, trials strengthen, and trials perfect our faith. And that is why when we meet trials of various kinds, we can count it all joy. So with that in mind, let's read James 1, starting in verse 2 on into verse 12, just for context. James writes, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and let the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will a rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for James writing this passage before us. And Father, we thank you for how he starts it all right off the bat by explaining to us the true nature of trials beneath the sovereign eye of you. And Father, we thank you that everything that comes into our lives, even the obstacles and hardships, are designed for our good and for your glory. And Father, I pray that you would teach us this before we go through an intense trial. Help us to count our trials and to consider our trials in advance what they truly are in light of your revealed word. And Father, I pray that as you change our heart and mind, we would be better equipped as we go into the rest of this week to respond even to the minor obstacles correctly, viewing them as opportunities to demonstrate our faith. Give us that mindset, Father, we pray, by your grace, as you help us by your Spirit to understand your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So James says here that we should count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Why? Verse 3 says, "For you know some things about God, some things from God's word." And the first thing that we know about trials from God's word is that trials reveal our faith. That's at the beginning of verse 3. Trials reveal our faith. James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers." Why? "For you know, specifically, that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Notice, trials are, as James says here, they are tests of our faith. They are a test of our reliance upon God and upon his promises. And that's the first truth that can be a source of joy for us in the midst of trials. It's knowing that my faith and confidence in God is being looked at and tested right now. And that's the first purpose of trials that we learn and know from Scripture, that they test and reveal whether our faith is genuine. A professor of mine when I was at college would say being placed into trials is like a tea bag being placed into hot water. The trial simply brings out what was always inside of us. Sometimes it's beautiful, sometimes it's ugly, but it's always accurate. And that is the truth. God sends trials our way to test our faith, to show us and to show others whether we really believe what we say we believe. Namely, at least these are two things that often come to my mind when I go through trials, namely that God is indeed sovereign, and that God does indeed love me in Christ. And it is this fact that trials reveal our faith that is illustrated throughout God's word. We can know it because it's revealed in God's word. We see it all over Scripture, that trials reveal the presence or the absence or the strength of one's faith. So first, trials reveal the presence of faith. Job is a great example of this. Job lost, if you recall, all of his earthly blessings, and yet he responded to it all by saying in Job 1:21, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That trial revealed the presence of Job's faith. for him and for others to see. Abraham with Isaac is another great example that James is going to use later, so I'm not going to talk about that now. So trials reveal the presence of faith when it's there. Second, trials reveal the absence of faith when it's not there. In Numbers 13, if you recall, there were 12 Israelites that went in to spy out their promised land. They went in to spy out the land that God had promised them. And as they went in to spy out the land, God tested them through the discovery of strong cities and mighty warriors that they would have to confront. And if you recall, all but two of those spies came back and revealed in that moment that they actually had no confidence from the presence or promises of God at all. Despite God's presence and promises that that land was theirs, they said, "We are not able to go up against these people," in Numbers 13:31. The trial there revealed the absence of faith. So trials reveal the presence of faith, trials reveal the absence of faith, and finally, trials reveal the strength of faith. If you recall, in Matthew 14, 22 through 33, Jesus came out to the disciples in the middle of a storm while walking on water. And then Peter gets out of the boat, and as he's focused on Jesus, he's able to walk on the water as well. But the moment he starts focusing on the winds and the waves, he begins to sink. And Jesus responds to Peter in that moment in Matthew 14, 31, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So Peter had faith, right? I mean, he got out of the boat. That's more faith than I probably have. But he had little faith, and it was mixed with doubt. And the trial revealed that out of his heart. He wouldn't have seen it any other way. And so the trial revealed the strength of his faith. And so this is the first thing that we know from God's word. It is that trials always reveal our faith. It reveals the presence of it if it's there. It reveals the absence of it if it's not there. And it reveals the strength of it. And that's, by the way, the most precious thing to know, is it not? It is the nature and quality of our faith. We often prioritize so many other things in life, but do you know that the thing that God prioritizes the most in your life? It is faith. Hebrews 11 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." He is not looking for perfection. Hallelujah, this side of heaven, right? He's looking for faith. He's looking for faith. And that is the most precious thing to know, and trials reveal it to us. And so, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so whatever can most clearly reveal to us the health of our faith and our reliance on God in that moment is precious. G.K. Chesterton said, "I believe in getting into hot water. I think it keeps you clean." And I think he's right. That's the truth. That is the truth. Trials are extremely valuable because they constantly reveal to us the nature and quality of our faith so that we can keep growing. And that is a reason to rejoice. As 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 7 states, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." Why? "So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So those trials are precious because they test the genuineness of our faith. It reveals the presence, the absence, strength of it. And so this is the first reason we can rejoice, because whatever trials we meet in life is always going to reveal our faith so that we can grow, which leads us to our second point, right? Trials not only reveal our faith, but second, trials strengthen our faith, and that's why we can count it all joy. That's at the end of part of verse 3 where James says, "We should count it all joy, my brothers, for you know that the testing of your faith produces," he says, "steadfastness." Notice, difficulties produce something beneficial. They produce steadfastness. I read a blog article a while back that made me so upset I don't think I'll ever forget reading it. It was written by a supposed Christian, and the title of the blog article was, "Dear Christian, please stop saying that everything happens for a reason." And if you read the article, it was basically trying to say that sometimes things are just bad and there's no real reason or purpose behind it. Well, if you're going to hold that view, you might as well rip half of your Bible out, including this section, because James says specifically that bad times and trials do happen for a reason. They do accomplish something. They not only reveal, they strengthen our faith. As James says here, the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, that is, endurance. Or you might say trials produce perseverance. Perseverance. One of the doctrines, important doctrines that the Bible teaches, and that we even saw in John 17, is what theologians like to call the perseverance of the saints. In other words, everyone who truly trusts in Jesus will never abandon their faith in him. They will always persevere. No trial will come to them that will make them give up their faith. And the reason why is because God supernaturally preserves living faith in four important ways. And trials play an important part in the fourth way. First, we're preserved by the Father's power. 1 Peter 1:5 says that we are being guarded by God's power through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days. And then you can even remember John chapter 10, where Jesus says, "No one can snatch them out of my hand or out of my Father's hand." So we're preserved by the Father's hand and by the Father's power. Second, we're preserved by the Son's prayers. And this is what we learned in John 17:11, when Jesus prayed prayers like, "Holy Father, keep them in your name," in John 17:11. And again, Jesus in Luke 22:32, "I have prayed for you, Peter, so that your faith would not fail." So God preserves us in the midst of trials in this earth because of the Father's power, by the Son's prayers. Third, we are preserved by the Spirit's presence. Ephesians 1:13-14 says that we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who's the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. So God preserves us spiritually by the Father's prayers, or by the Father's power, by the Son's prayers, and by the Spirit's presence. But the final way that God preserves every son and daughter of his, which connects us to the passage before us tonight in James, is that fourth, we are preserved by our own perseverance. We are preserved by our own perseverance. And this is kind of the other side of the coin of the three points that we just looked at, right? So from a divine viewpoint, God preserves us. But from a human viewpoint, we also persevere. We learn to remain steadfast under trials. One of the ways that God accomplishes his divine preservation of the saints is through our human perseverance. And here we're back to that often perceived paradox of God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, which are both equally taught and revealed in Scripture, right? We're saved because we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and yet we're not saved without exercising faith. And likewise, we are preserved by God, by his omnipotent power, and yet we're not preserved without exercising perseverance. We are steadfast because we're secure, but we're secure because we're steadfast also. And trials play an important part of God's preserving work in our lives. It is through the testing of our faith that God produces the steadfastness in the life that is necessary for believers. Just as Romans 5 verse 3 states, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces endurance. Through hard times, God grows us and strengthens our faith in him and in his word. He puts us under pressure, sustained pressure, so that our faith can grow strong. You know, there are times that God has sent me through that I would not wish on my worst enemies. But I also wouldn't wish to live without those moments also, because God has used them to strengthen my faith so much. Trials strengthen our faith for our good. And we know this from God's word. We know these things, and that's why we can count it all joy. As Psalms 119:71 states, "It is good for me that I was afflicted." Why? "So that I might learn your statutes." Through trials, and I'm sure you can agree with me, through trials, when life gets hard, suddenly, we're back on our knees more than we used to be. Suddenly, that Bible that we've been neglected, we pick back up again. Suddenly, the Christian fellowship and the counsel that we should have been receiving, we start turning to again. Why is God doing that? It's because he's using those trials to do what? Strengthen our faith. Our reliance on God increases under pressure. Through trials, our faith grows stronger. And in that, we can rejoice when we go into those trials. I know that God is going to teach me something through this. I might not know what that is, but I can look with expectation towards it. I can count it all joy. That was one thing that kept me going when we lost our daughter. I remember hearing I was driving home from the hospital as Char was staying in the hospital. I turned on the radio, and it was this weird radio station that I never listened to. But they were reading the scriptures in that moment. And it was from John chapter 11, and Jesus' words stood out to me. He said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so I'm driving home from this trial that I couldn't even imagine. And all of a sudden, I had a positive expectation that if I was to believe the Lord, I know he's going to show me something. It's exactly what James is teaching me. He's going to strengthen my faith somehow, and I need to be looking out for what he's going to teach me. I can rejoice in that. Through this trial, I know I'm going to grow in my understanding of God, of his will and of his ways. This will end up to be for his glory and for my good. And so through this trial, I know I'm going to grow in my conviction and my confidence of what I profess. And I can take great joy in that knowledge. So count it all joy, my brothers, because you know some things from God's word. You know that trials reveal our faith. You know that it reveals our faith to strengthen our faith. And then finally, we know from God's word that trials perfect our faith. And that's in verse 4, where he says, "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." That word perfect is really important to James. He brings it up several times in his letter, both in the Hebrew and the Greek. That word perfect means wholeness or integrity. And it describes the state of someone when their actions are consistent with their beliefs. And this is going to be one of the major concerns that we see that James has when he's writing this letter. James is going to point out to us that many times we as believers do not live lives of complete integrity. That what we profess is not always what we practice. And that's why he writes this letter. That there are many times throughout the day on a daily basis when what we do is not consistent with what we profess we believe. Well, God's not just going to sit back and let us continue on that way of claiming to believe something but not actually living it out. He loves us too much for that. God is on a mission to complete to perfection the good work that he has begun in us, as Philippians 1:6 says. He is on a mission to create sons and daughters of integrity, people of God who live lives up to the standard of faith that they profess, who are not only hearers of the word, but doers also, who exhibit a living faith in every area of their lives. That's God's objective. And so to that end, God sends trials into our lives so that we might be made perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Obviously, that work is only going to be fully completed at the day of Jesus Christ. As 1 Peter 5:10 reminds us, it is after we've suffered for a little while that the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, will perfect us. That day is still to come. But in the meantime, hopefully you would all confess that there's some dross that needs to get burned off, right? That there are some imperfections that need to be addressed. That there are some inconsistencies in our lives that need to be straightened out. And that God is not willing to wait on dealing with those. He is in the process right now of sanctifying each and every one of us and perfecting our faith through the trials that he consistently sends our way. And those trials will perfect our practice and our profession of the faith we believe to the glory of God. And so in that we can rejoice. We know these things from Scripture. As Job 23 verse 10 confesses, "God knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold." And so count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of various kinds, because you know that trials reveal, strengthen, and perfect our faith for the glory of God. And in that way, when I was thinking about it, if you take a step back and think about it, you realize that this command to count it all joy is in fact itself a test of faith. Because if you tonight can say, "I cannot count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds," it means that you either don't know these three truths, that trials reveal, strengthen, and perfect our faith, or second, you don't believe those truths, in which case your trials really are revealing your faith, aren't they? And so I urge you, brothers, to count and consider it all joy and to believe that every obstacle that comes into your life, even for the rest of this week, is an opportunity sent from our Father to reveal our faith, to strengthen our faith, and to perfect our faith for His own glory. Well, I don't know about you, but as we're going to see next time, that takes real wisdom to be able to look at life from that perspective. And so let's ask God in advance of what He's going to teach us in verse 5. Let's ask God to help us in that way view our trials for the glory of God together in prayer tonight.